Good morning.
Mic check, mic check, mic check.
Check, check, check.
I can hear you. We just gotta wait for the Skype signal to drop to yellow now.
It should be any second now. Let's see.
It's
Do the
pretty
countdown.
solid right now. Something must be wrong.
Yeah,
You must
something's
have kicked your
wrong.
whole family out of the
I know.
house.
I should probably go check if the kids are still alive.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide leak or something.
That's right. So what's going on? It's late. We're recording late.
Yes, this is Geek Brunk. Geek Brunk. Geek Brunk. Geek Brunch after dark.
Can't even talk. You're so drunk after
I know,
like 3 a.m.
afternoon. After the noon hour. It is strange. It's all dark outside.
Yeah.
I had the lights off in my office. My pants are off. It's the mag I call this the magic hour.
The magic hour.
Yeah,
Except this time you're talking to somebody else.
it's weird. It's like someone else is in the room at the same time.
Yeah. Just
Strange.
see if you can jerk yourself off to completion with somebody on the other
Just talking a little bit of a deeper, I mean a higher voice.
Yeah. Well, I'm sick, so I'll talk in a coughing voice.
You're sick.
If
When you're
that
sick,
doesn't, just imagine that I'm choking on
time you cough. Yeah. You like that?
it.
Oh boy. Take two. We didn't say Geek Brunch After Dark, right?
Yeah. I don't think we could put another tag on there. Like, it's already explicit.
It can't be more explicit.
Yeah. I
I thought you
started
had a.
writing my comic book, and guess who shows up? The liquor.
Oh, the
Yeah,
an appearance. Does he go by the
you
Licker, or is it just like a cameo where you don't know who it is?
don't know who it is. He hears it on the radio.
Ah.
There,
Is
people are saying, like, news reporters are saying, like, hide your children. There's this guy that licks things
things.
and seems to gain supernatural powers off of what he licks.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's like a universe that we're building.
Yeah, that means I gotta start working on the liquor.
Yeah.
So you started writing something. This is big news.
Big. I might write more because this week Barb is gone, so she couldn't take me anymore, so she left me.
She left you. Germaine. Where's she off to? Or is that confidential?
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. That's where the meth is, right?
That's where she's going. Breaking Bad. She has to go get the supplies.
She is a scientist.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anymore. A scientist at Albuquerque.
Yep.
Going to Albuquerque. So you're all alone.
Home Alone, me and Harley.
What are you gonna do with all that extra time?
I don't know. A lot of jacking off. I don't know. A lot of reading. Might write some of the looker, the liquor.
The looker and the liquor. Well, there's already a looker.
Yeah, there's a looker already. I got a commission of the looker, but this is the liquor.
Didn't you
Might
have a
help.
cold already? I thought you had a cold like last couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it never went
With your
away.
boss, Baltimore. It's the
This
same one?
contra is vicious, man. It's
Dang.
like, how many hands did I lick? I got all these different strains, and they're all in a queue, you know, just like ready. Okay, this one's gone. Now you got this
You
one.
wipe out the first, the next one moves
Yeah.
in. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. It's going on
Sad.
2 weeks.
Ooh.
But I haven't taken off from work or anything. I just contaminate the whole area.
Screw them. Did you take off like a couple? Well, you had a couple of days off when you got back.
I had one day, but I was deathly ill.
And you went in the next day, coughing and hacking. So how?
And Ivan says, "Can I go home? But you got to finish this." And I'm like, "Well, I can't finish it at home. I'll get home and I'll fall asleep. Take a nap. I just took some cough medicine, so we'll see how it goes. I just recorded Mike M's weekly reads, and I think I edited out 15 minutes of coughing. Like, dang. I don't usually edit at all. But I would see these huge spikes in the volume.
Every time there was a spike.
Yeah.
Eliminate that. That is some professional work, my friend.
Yes, I did some editing. Hopefully I won't have to edit this episode. Just hit the mute button.
Cause mute
a lot. There's somebody when you're doing the solo podcast, you're fucked.
2 minutes of silence.
Yeah.
What was I saying? So I've been good. Not much going on. Out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
No comic related things.
No comic cons or anything. I have some comic news. I picked up The Flash of Two Worlds, man. That's weird.
It's
the same time, the same week that it aired, and I had no intention of buying it. I showed up in the comic store on Wednesday. I usually go during my lunch hour, and I didn't want to go back to work because he's like, look at these 25 long boxes. I mean, boxes of comic books that he says the storage owner brought in because the storage unit
defaulted.
Yeah, kind of like Storage Wars. It defaulted after a year. He doesn't know what happened to the person. They just vanished. Like, it could be dead. You know, you always think of what happened, you know, because it's such a great collection. I don't want that to be my collection. But there were some amazing books. Like, it was just so many Silver Age and so many Bronze Age books in that collection. A lot of current stuff, too. He was a hardcore collector, just like me.
Yeah, the storage guy brought them to the store.
Yeah, but the only thing that this collector did is he never like ordered his books like by title or anything. I think he just ordered them by purchase. You know, he'd purchase them and then file it.
Oh, read them and file them. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like there's no order, but the shop owner wanted my help because he had to still run the store because Wednesday's his busiest day because that's new comic book day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if you could go through these books, I know you know what you're talking about. And I said, I know what's of value if you talk, you know, Silver Age and Bronze Age. But if you get into the speculation shit, you know, right, I'm not any good at that. Mm-hmm. So
you're pulling the valuable stuff out?
Yeah, he gave me like four or five empty boxes, and I was pulling out what I thought was valuable, and I was also filling my own box.
This is valuable, and this is valuable, and I'm going to buy it?
Yeah, the shop owner guy likes me, so he knows that I don't have to buy it all at once, that I'm good on it, and I'll pay him when I get it, you know, so I can spend it in increments.
That payment plan?
Like right now I have Aquaman number one, Aquaman Silver Age number one, and Showcase number 30 on layaway kind of thing, where I'm paying just a little bit every week. But I got them for like incredibly great prices. Like,
I'd give you a deal.
Flash of Two Worlds VG is worth like over $500, and I got it for like 100-something.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's giving me great, great discounts.
So, did that book go up after the Flash episode aired?
Yeah, but it's always been hot, but I'm sure it's getting hotter. It's
going to get hotter now.
On eBay, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That is a nice one. I know it is funny. Like, I haven't seen the episode yet, but I saw the
GIF image. Yeah.
Are they for the Flash episode? I haven't watched the latest one, but on the one prior to it, at the end, they like showed a little preview of the next episode. So,
yeah, well, it's all over like Twitter and stuff. You see, people are posting like the comic image, you know, like from the cover. And then they're posting the animate the little motion thing where they're both running on the other side of the wall. They did a really geek call out to those that knew what was going on.
So you picked it up at just the right moment, like.
Yeah, it was weird the way it happened too, because I didn't even find it the first day. Like, I was just gonna get the Aquamans. Like, I want to get a full run of Aquaman, and I knew that this was the first Silver Age appearance of Aquaman. At least I thought it was. There's still an Adventure Comics I need to seek out. But number 30 is like the second Silver Age appearance of Aquaman, and then it's got like 30 through 33, and I bought 33 already, so I just need like 31 and 32, and then it starts its own series, and I'm missing like 1 through 14, and then I have everything else. So I want to complete my Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day I had just said, well, I'm going to fill my box up with what I think I need, because I didn't have my database list with me. So I was like, you know, I'll come in on Thursday so you don't leave all this valuable stuff in my box and you could try to sell it.
Don't you have your list on your phone?
No, I don't have my list on my phone.
Why not?
I could. I'm just lazy.
Don't they have an app where you can just...
I have no intention of buying more back issues right now, but... Because it's... yeah, I can upload my list to the web and then LTE it from there and pull up my list.
Yeah, don't they have an app, though? I thought they have an app now.
No.
They don't?
They have a URL that you essentially hit that is an app that you link to, but it's really just a fancy URL.
Okay. Just pulls up the site. Or pulls up a special version.
You essentially do the work and put PDF, use the report generator to generate PDFs, and then the URL thing goes to your PDFs and you pull them up.
That doesn't sound much more advanced than my Excel file.
Oh, it's way more advanced than that.
I could generate a PDF for my Excel file if I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. It just wouldn't make any sense because you need 3 other Excel files to make any sense of
it. To link it.
Yeah. But that second day is when I found it, and I didn't even want to look at the box. I just went in there and said, let me go through my box. And he says, you know what? I found 3 more boxes you might want to look through. And I was like, I wanted to get home because I had a long day at work, and I was like, I'll look through just one, and I'm like going through the box, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a good box. But I was like, really, like, you know, I know these books are in the hundreds, so I was like, nah, I ain't going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it. And then I saw the Flash on Two Worlds, and I'm like, do you realize what the fuck you have here? I said, man, this book is like a key book. Like, it's mm-hmm. the Earth 2, Earth 1 kind of thing. First time it happens. and then he started saying, well, you know what, Mike, I'll work something out with you. And then he convinced me, essentially through his dark forces, that I should do it. And I'm glad, though, because if I didn't buy it, you know what, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. My conscience would be thinking about it over and over again.
Especially the deal he gave you.
Yeah, you don't run across it.
Yeah, you'll never find it.
Hardly ever. And then for the price that I got it for, I'll never find it for that.
I'm guessing the condition of these books is pretty good too, right?
Some of them are fucking amazing. Like, I also bought Green Lantern's first Tattooed Man, and it looks like it's fucking better than the ones that are on the shelf now. Like the brand new comics. It looks so damn good.
So you just read them and put them away?
I just put them away.
What kind of years was the collection, like, how far from where to where did it go? Like, when did it, what year did it start?
The Batman collection went to the 50s, and he had like a huge Charlton collection, which I was very interested in, but I was like, that vectors me away from some of my goals.
Right, you got to finish your primary.
And then one of the things I really like to read is like old romance comics. Like, I think they're fucking amazing. Like, they're like so entertaining for many reasons, from an historical perspective, for men and women. And you know, just what was happening at the time. And they're also hilarious because there's like just some weird, crazy shit like swinging and orgies and all kinds of weird shit that happened in these 70s comics. And you know, these fucking writers are all men and they're all horn dogs and they're.
They're fantasies.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of stuff there I was interested in. And man, there's so much good shit. There was first Wolverine, there's a lot of key Marvels like Moon Knight and Werewolf by Night and Tomb of Dracula, and he had the whole run of Supergirl, but I had just purchased it. He has like 10-cent issues of Adventure Comics, and some of those were just like amazing condition. And this, whoever this collector was, did a really good job of grading, because he actually graded his books.
Oh, he did?
Like he, yeah, like I'd say about like 60% of his books were already graded. And we actually looked – I actually looked at, like, what he would grade, because gradings, you know.
Subjective. Some people,
yeah, so it depends on how the person is. It's usually within a point, but that point could be very critical, like going from fine to BG.
If, you're – anything that's came out – anything on the border, you could go either way.
But he was really good because he, like, put, like – slight tear on this. He would even put like, oh, there's a little foxing on page two, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like, he put like really good details on
precise.
It. This poor fucker lost a good collection. I hope nothing happened to him, you know. That would suck.
Yeah, no, what would cause, I mean, if he was obviously really into it for probably a long time.
Oh yeah. Either that or it was a person that had it and put it in a storage locket and it like inherited it and didn't even know what they had. And then they didn't give a shit and then left the storage unit go.
Yeah, I'm guessing the original owner passed away. Because that seems like the only scenario where you wouldn't try and get your stuff back. Because like, the amount he owed on the locker kind of been pale in comparison to how much the collection was worth.
Well, you know what the collection... And you know how shop owners buy things at 50%?
Mm-hmm.
You know what... What came in at? Ten grand, man.
10 grand?
Yeah.
That's what he paid for it?
So it's probably 20 grand. He already made 10 grand just selling his fucking Wolverine, you know, the key issues and stuff. On day one, he made like 3 grand. On day two, he made another 4 grand. He was already getting to the halfway point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And only a few people, like, he had called the key people that are into collections. One guy got into big trouble. He's like the speculator guy that I always talk about. He bought like Ultimate Spider-Man number one. He always buys like the newer stuff, but the stuff that's worth like $100 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he went home and Ed told me that he got in big trouble with his wife. And I was like, are you trying to do that to me too, Ed? I said, why do you keep showing me this shit, you know? But the books that I buy, they're not going to go down in price. Whereas the newer stuff, it could.
Right. Anything that's hot. Yeah, newer stuff that's hot right now isn't necessarily going to be hot in 5, 10 years.
Like all those Black Mask books that we have. You know, I don't know if you bought Clandestino or whatever, but that book is already at $8. It just fucking came out this week. What the fuck? And it's because people only order like 3,000. There's only like a 3,000 print run. So it's just like the supply and demand is greater, you know?
Yeah.
But people don't pre-order and it doesn't make the shelves. So then all these people find out that this book is hot and it becomes in the hot.
Yeah, they can't find it anywhere.
Yeah. Motherfucker, I forgot to order Gravedigger number 2, too, from Action Lab. Pissed off, man.
Oh, I got that.
Fuck. But I fixed that. I have it on eBay already, and I found somebody that was selling it and ordered it.
How'd you miss that? We talked about number 1.
How did I miss it is...
You thought you'd ordered it?
I thought I ordered it. Yeah. Well, I ordered number 3. Number 3 came in this week.
Okay.
So I looked at number 3, and I was like, did I get number 2? I said, it doesn't look right. So I went on the, you know.
Like, I went they released to the number website. 3 before they released number 2.
I looked at my order. You know how you could look at your old orders? I found when Gravedigger number one came out, and then I looked at the next month, it wasn't there, and then I looked at the next month, and there was number three, and I'm like, fuck! I missed it.
Son of a bitch. Luckily, that one shouldn't be too hard to find.
Well, they are. There was only one person selling it, but they had two available, and I was able to get it. It was such a good book, too. I hate when that happens. It happens, though. It's easy to...
Something you want to read, yeah.
I don't do the pull list feature anymore because sometimes you get the sales and the clearance items, and I don't want to have to worry about that. So I just,
yeah, you get to like resolicits and stuff.
Yeah, I want to order what I order. If I only ordered like 10 books a month, I would definitely have a pull list. I'd just say, here, Batman pull, this pull. But I have like 50, 60 books a week. It's hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah, I do the poll. I don't know how many I have on there, maybe 20 or 25.
Yeah, but most of your orders are brand new because they're number ones.
Right, and the rest is just number ones.
And then the trades you have to kind of search for because you don't know if they're out that month, you know?
Well, some of the trades I have on my poll list where I just get all the trades that come up.
But how do you pull it if it hasn't come out yet? You have to look for it first.
Right, yeah, you have to add the first one to your pull, like order the first one and then add it to your pull
list. Oh, you could put like volume one and then pull it on a pull list and then volume two is automatically put, just like a comic book? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where you have to look through it though, because if they resolicit volume one again, then it'll get re-added to your, you could end up ordering it again.
Yeah.
But like I said, in my case, it's not that bad because I only have a short list to look through, whereas yours would be, you can't look through 200 items to try and find duplicates or whatever.
The worst case is I went to Comixology and it was there, so I could read it.
Right.
Then I wouldn't have the physical copy, and then my brain works, there's a hole in that.
It would be gnawing at you.
Yeah, it gnaws at me. It's like, why is that hole there? And I found another one, too. I was reading Palmiotti and Gray's Star Spangled Comics with iZombie. Mm-hmm. And I was missing issue 7, and I was so fucking into the story. No, Bill, I was, like, dying for the next issue. It was so good. And I was like, oh, my God, I gotta go get the next issue. Oh, I only have 8. What the fuck happened? And then
I was out of 8,
too.
I missed it.
So luckily I went on to Comixology and I said, I don't want to interrupt my reading because I'm so engrossed in the story. And I just ordered it on Comixology and read it and then read the last one. So good. So good.
I'm trying to see what number – I'm looking through the trade to find what number 7 is. I want to see where you left off.
Number 6 was – I think the infiltration of the second facility.
Yeah. That's when shit was
hitting the fan.
Yeah, hitting the fan.
I think that was the hippie one with the
Hippie guy, yeah.
The hippie guy and she hijacks the van, yeah. Like fuck. No, that's did you read it?
Yeah, I read the trade, yeah. Oh, which has God. 1 through 8, and then Futures End number 1.
So good. I loved it.
It was good. And I'm glad it held up to the... I had read the first issue back when it first came out, and it's always good when the rest of the story holds up to the...
Or gets better.
First issue.
I thought it actually built... I love when you care about the main characters, and like I cared about that zombie fucker, and then in the female, the lead female with the blonde short hair, she was awesome, man. She infiltrated those.
She went undercover
so deep that like there was already people dying, man. There was fucking nukes being blown up, you know. They had already launched a missile into a small town and infected it with that zombie virus. They killed like a whole fucking town.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it's cool because it had Gravedigger from DC. He was like the lead character. Yeah. That was like a Silver Age military comic, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with them, but they did a good job of kind of setting them up as this. They had a history.
And that organization was fucking weird, man. They were like in a spa. Like they had like a spa in the middle of nowhere where rich fuckers would go. And who knows, like maybe some people went to the spa, weren't even in the organization, you know?
Yeah.
I just know that underground, that's where all the real shit happened.
Yeah, because the story starts out where G.I. Zombie and this female agent are going undercover to try and infiltrate this, what they think is just a bunch of hicks who are amassing a bunch of guns, so they want to find out what they're all about before they cause any trouble. And then they find out it goes much deeper than that, and it gets much more involved than they ever thought, and she infiltrates the organization, so it's basically like a spy kind of book.
Right. And he's kind of on the outside attacking.
Right, and trying to help her from the outside.
Gravedigger. But she gets in deep, like, that one chick is like a lesbian, and she brings her into the organization, and then she flirts with the head honcho and stuff, and, like, they got really close to fucking, man. I don't know if she wanted to fuck him, but she was when she came out of that pool and he was sitting in the chair, just sitting back, he's watching.
Well, she handled it well though, because she's like she was leading him on, but then at the end she's like, you know, he's like, so what are you saying? He's like, want to go into the bedroom? And she's like, you know, I'm really tired and I don't want to disappoint you. So
yeah.
The other scene I liked is when the one girl comes running into G.I. Zombie's hotel room needing help and then saying the two guys are chasing her.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And that was like a thriller movie or something.
It was a thriller, and she turned out to be in that fucking organization. Mm-hmm. She fucking put a bullet right in the fucking head of the G.I. Zombie. Stupid bitch, man.
G.I. Zombie died a lot in this.
He died a lot.
That's good. And I love the art, the Scott Hampton art.
Yeah, it was perfect for this book, don't you think? It was almost like a photorealistic, but it was effective. Like the people looked real.
Was he the guy who did he do Simon Dark?
I think he might have, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like his stuff. It's different. Yeah, it's kind of photorealistic, but not really.
Yeah, it was. He was the guy that did it with Steve Niles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And the trade's a good deal because it's $17, but it's like 8 issues and then the story from the Future's End issue.
Yeah, and it's one story arc. Like it ends like. It's one big
story.
The thing that's amazing, too, is they end each issue and you're, like, ready for the next. You know what I mean? They, like, they end it and you want more. Harley's going nuts. Barb's gone, so she's like, I want to run around now. She just ate her food and she wants to run. But, yeah, I really liked it. Even when that hippie was driving, like, they're driving that fucking hippie van, and then they run into all those guys with automatic weapons, and they're like, we're fucking dead. And then the hippie guy just says, fuck it. You know, they drive through it, and then they're being chased on that hippie van. And he's like, you know what? I kind of memorized this road. There's a sharp turn, and it's either left or right.
Yeah,
and
no,
he picks the wrong one.
No, they came up to the people with guns. This guy started getting shot at, so he put it in reverse.
Yeah.
And then he's flying backwards. And he's like, I don't remember if it's right or left. And he's like, I don't know, right.
and he chose the wrong way, and they crashed it. But before they crashed it, went over the cliff or whatever, she jumped out with that hippie guy. I think the hippie guy survived. I don't remember him getting killed. But there was like a big linkage between it was almost like the Ra's al Ghul thing or any of that kind of stuff where you have this like leadership and they're like they don't think they're bad guys cuz they kind of want to cleanse. They want to destroy cleanse the
earth
of wasted people and then build their own society. And that's what this cult or whatever you want. It was like the Waco. It reminded me of Waco, Texas kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it was the
Or that Kevin Smith
extremist
one,
group.
except it was more, they had more science and stuff behind it. Like they had all these fucking nuclear weapons and they had the virus that was in the weapons and it was insane. And there's that one scene where he just the bomb goes off and then he's trying to get a ride, you know, GI, can you give me a ride, please? And they're like, look at his face, he looks fucked up, well, don't pick him up. And then they drive into the fucking cloud and they're driving back and he's like, you guys gonna pick me up, you know? And then they're like, they're fucking zombies. Yeah, I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, it was very well done. It was good, and I don't know if we said it was Palmiotti and Gray on the writing
Yeah.
side.
They always are fantastic to me.
Yeah, they rarely do wrong.
I'm surprised that that came out in trade. Like, why would that come out in trade but not Infinity Man and the Forever People, you know?
It's just orders, I guess. Yeah, I don't know why this would have more orders.
They had both similar monthly numbers, you know?
Yeah, and neither of them is a title that's maybe because it has zombie in it, store owners think they might have a chance of selling it.
Maybe. It's the only thing I could think of. Either that or there was a lot of people like you that read the first one and said,
We're asking
oh,
for the
I
trade.
kind of
Yeah.
liked it. And then when it was solicited, said, oh, I want to order that. I remember that first issue. The key is to remember what you read. If you
I mean,
remember.
that was a really memorable first issue
Yeah.
of them in the bar, and it was
Yeah.
very a lot of conflict and tension. That was good.
Yeah, it's really
Where
good
you didn't
stuff.
really know what was going on at first.
Well, you read Rumble.
I did. I read Rumble Volume 1.
I didn't read that. I didn't even buy it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I thought you had read number one. I guess I was mistaken.
No.
You sure?
I don't have any of the books that you sent me. Like I ordered Public Relations, but I didn't have time to read it.
Okay.
But the other two, the other one, I don't even know what it
Yeah, I
is.
figured you didn't
That
get
was like
to
from
read that.
that was from like the Captain Canuck publisher, I think, right?
Yeah.
Blizzard. And I don't even order Captain Canuck, so.
Because you hate Canada.
And you love Canada.
I do. I love
I
Canada.
figure you got that covered, so.
I'll handle the any all the Canadian publishers.
Yeah.
There's so few. Yeah, Rumble. But now, okay. I remember discussing number one with you, or maybe we had someone else on the show who I was discussing it with.
Well, I was probably on there. I don't think you were discussing it with Micah. I really doubt it. Because he's been gone for a year. Rumble is like on issue 8, right? Like,
Yeah,
I
something
think
like
really.
that. Well, here, let me describe it, and we'll see if you if it rings any bells.
I mean, if it won't ring a bell to me because I don't have it, I guarantee I don't have
Wait, your system could be fit, could be fail,
it.
could fail.
No, I don't have it. I really don't. It never works that way. Like I know what I don't order, and that was like the month that I said, "God damn Image, they have all these goddamn number ones," and I actually read the solicits and said, "Well, I'm gonna hold back on getting a lot of the new number ones." And then the next month, I'm like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna get everything."
Oh, I remember
Yeah,
that.
that was the month that I. But I've
One
heard
month.
I've I have heard. I listen to Comics for Fun and Profit, and one of the guys reads Rumble, and that he really likes it. Like he's really invested in that story. So
Yeah, I
there are
liked it.
other people that like it.
So it's by written by John Arcudi and drawn by James Herron. And I think that they're both BPRD guys. So they've both done work on BPRD, which I don't read.
I don't read any Hellboy or BPRD. I've dipped my toe in like a couple times and I think it's been bad. Like when I dip my toe in, like inapproachable, you know what I mean?
I've read a couple of Hellboys, but I don't know. It never did anything for me.
Well, every time I try it, I've tried it 3 times, and then I just said, no, I'm not going to try it anymore. I've already tried it 3 times, 3 different series, you know? And I think one was BPRT, and then the other two, I tried 2 mini-series of Hellboy, and I didn't like it. I liked the movie, but it was like a Transformers thing. Like, every time I drip my toe into Transformers, I can't get into it. The only one I could get into is Sholies. Because I love the creator so much, he can make me like anything.
Actually,
He could write Poop Office, and I'd go fucking buy that.
so this is by the BPRD team. So it starts out where there's this guy in a bar, and he's talking to this younger guy who's a bartender, and one of his regulars is this older gentleman, and he's telling him all his story. He's constantly telling him all his stories. Then this dude who looks kind of like a scarecrow comes busting in with this giant sword, and he chops the old guy's arm off and runs out of the building, and the kid's freaking out. He goes to call the cops, and he comes back out, and the old guy's gone. Or no, wait. I think he might have chased the other dude out into the street, and then he ends up getting the sword, and then these two creatures come down and are like, "Give us the sword. We need the sword." And he didn't know what to do, but he was refusing to give them the sword because he didn't know what the story was. So I think he like swung at the creatures, and then eventually the scarecrow guy comes back and gets his sword back, and the kid goes back to the bar, and the old guy's whose arm got cut off is gone. And that's pretty much the first issue. So it's basically about this kid who gets drawn into this, or I guess he gets becomes aware that there's these other creatures in this world. And what the story is that the scarecrow guy is actually I can't remember if they call him a god or what, but anyway, I think he is. They're the gods who walked the earth before humans, and he was kind of a bat. He was the badass back then, and he was going to cleanse the earth of all the remaining creatures that have been left behind, because they were all supposed to leave, but they never did. But he doesn't have his body anymore, so he's searching for his body, and he kind of brings this kid and his roommate in to try and help him. It was really good. It was really interesting. I liked how they told the story of this kid, and at first he's doesn't want to get pulled into this adventure, but eventually he does. And they also do a lot of flashbacks when the kid is told like what it used to be like and about the gods and things and the roles they played. But it was really well done, and I think this is the first 5 issues that are in this volume. And they did a good job of wrapping up this first arc. So it's a complete story in this first arc, but then they leave certain threads open to continue on to the next one. So it was good. And the art is awesome. The art's kind of like a,
Buzzkill or no?
yeah, sort of like a Buzzkill style. Yeah, exactly. That kind of Buzzkill
I've
or beef.
almost pulled the plug on that because my shop guy has like most of the issues in back, you know, they haven't sold yet. So I've almost thought about it, but I'm like, God damn, I have so much other shit to read. And then he gets these great old issues and it
Wipes out
support
your budget.
yeah.
Yeah, so I liked it. It was a good one.
Yeah, I started reading Brian Wood's Star Wars because I had stopped like around issue 12 and it was only 20 issues like right before Marvel took over. And
Because
I have
Dark
been
Horse, right?
I have been loving
New
Brian
stuff.
Wood stuff, like Starve, like is
Oh
my favorite book, Starve and Rebels and you know DMZ, all this stuff I like always enjoy. And there's different levels of enjoyment, but I always like thoroughly enjoy his stuff. And I was like, man, you know, I still have this Brian Woods Star Wars to finish up. And I've been reading the new Star Wars, and I read it, and it was fucking amazing. But it takes place like this is no longer in canon, because when Disney bought Lucasfilms, they pretty much said, we're rebooting everything. So all the novels and all the books and all the comic books, they're not canon anymore. But before that, like, Dark Horse did a really good job of like mapping out where things took place and where the books took, like, there was a map of, okay, this takes place right after this, right between here and here. So you like knew what happened. And this is like, this particular book took place like right after Star Wars, right after they blew up the Death Star, kind of like the way Marvel launched. And they went a very different path, but it's like Princess Leia is trying to find a place for the Rebel Alliance to be, because they don't have a home base anymore, because Alderaan was destroyed. They really don't have a home base that the Empire doesn't know about. And, you know, it builds out Luke Skywalker, and he hangs out a lot with Wedge, and Wedge is trying to actually teach Luke, and Luke is so damn impatient. Luke is always trying to be a hot shot, and Wedge doesn't like that. Like, he doesn't like, you know, if you're going to crash the fucking plane, he like looks at it like, you know how much this thing costs? You know what the resources, if you're going to fucking crash it and eject, I don't want to. He's like, you know, careless, kind of like Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Wedge is like, this young is bullshit. Hot shot. Yeah, he has to, he benches him a couple times, and then Luke gets real cranky. And but they find this one planet, and it's owned by like a prince, and he knows that Leia's a princess, and they want to get married. Like, they've had history with her Tatooine, and, you know, all that. I mean, not Tatooine, but Naboo and Alderaan and all this shit. And there's been, you know how like princes are usually set up to marry princesses? Well, that's what this was. And there was like, well, you could use our planet if you get married to me. So they were setting up a big marriage, and he turns out he wasn't all good. Like, he led Mon Mothma, who's kind of like the female character you see roughly, and I think you see her in like two of the movies. She's shows up, and she's a leader that you see talking, but she never does much. Like, you know, she's a leader, but like, here's the plans for the Death Star kind of thing. And it's pretty cool how they build up the story, because but it's very similar to like Cloud City, because it's like almost like the Lando betrayal, because there's this general on there, and he's kind of like, I made a deal with the Empire behind the prince's back, kind of, even though the prince knew there was something going on. But there's so much intrigue, and you know how Brian Wood writes, there's so many little details in there. But it turned out to be really cool. Like, it was the first intro to the ion cannons, which we saw in Empire Strikes Back. If you remember when they're on Hoth, and they're like, well, we got some ion cannon shots that they could shoot at the Star Destroyer, and then the ships would go by them. This was like the first appearance of the ion cannons. Like, they developed them, and they were ready to go, and when they tried to escape, there were like three Star Destroyers, and they like shot the first one and blew it out of the sky with the ion cannons. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool that they developed these ion cannons. It was awesome. Because they're so far away. Like, they're on the planet, and they could shoot up into space.
Yeah.
Knock out a Star Destroyer and make it like non-functional. But it was really good. They had to find another base after the end of it, but it was some cool scenes with Han and Leia. Like, there's tension between the two, and he was upset that she was getting married, and Luke still doesn't know it's his sister, so he gets frustrated because he wants her too. But it was a really good story.
Did you finish reading the entire run?
Yeah, I read 12 through 20.
Okay. And did he did they let him like finish the story?
Yeah, it ended in issue 20 where they had got away from that planet. The prince was still alive. They didn't get married. The prince actually said, "I need to stay here." He's kind of like the Lando character where he's a good guy, but he was doing what he thought he had to do, you know. But he knew the Empire was going to come after him after the Star Destroyer was destroyed right over the planet. And she says, "You need to come with us because they're going to come after you and destroy your people." And he decided to stay back. It was really good stuff.
Yeah, I think I just read the first one of that. I never went past that.
And it's pretty cool because in Star Wars, Ben dies. And then the other episode, he's like a ghost manifestation. But what they show in this one, what Brian Wood did, is he haunts Vader a lot. Like, he's like, "Really? I'm over here, motherfucker. I'm more powerful." And Vader's like a hard ass. He doesn't give a fuck. And this is both in Marvel and in this Dark Horse run. He follows the Emperor, but he'll go behind the Emperor's back and he won't hesitate. Because whatever his goal is, that's his goal. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. Even the Emperor gets pissed off at him. Is like when they went to the planet without Vader, he was so fucking pissed. The Emperor kept him back, and he's like, "These motherfuckers will fail," and they sure did. He like tells the Emperor, he says, "What is this rebellion gonna do? You know, they're not. We have them trapped on a planet. What are they gonna do?" But They ended up getting away anyway. It's good stuff.
Cool.
I'd imagine that would probably be like 4 trades.
Yeah, probably. I don't know how many it ended up, 4 or 5 probably.
I think it's on the Marvel Unlimited. I don't have the app, but I heard people talk about it. So it's the second volume. Dark Horse did one long-ass Star Wars title, which I never read. It was a monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did this Brian Wood one, which I did jump on because I knew it was Brian Wood, and I knew it was all the characters that I loved instead of invented characters. And
yeah, that was pretty big when it came out.
Yeah, so I jumped on that, and I loved it, but then it was one of those things where I stopped reading it and just finished it. And then they came out with another book that I have to finish is The Star Wars. I don't know if you remember what that is, but it was really bizarre because they took the original script of George Lucas and adapted it to
comics. Oh, right. Yeah, the original.
It was so draft. Different. So different.
Yeah.
Wasn't even – I mean, it was loosely close, but it was very – it wasn't like so many different things happened.
Yeah, there were different characters too, weren't they?
Yeah, a whole bunch of different characters.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the actual story of how it became the current version as opposed to what it started at. But I know I have seen the original script. I think you can find that online. And I know it was very different.
Yeah, it was cool. Good stuff.
You also read the new Star Wars, right?
No, I also read Matt Kent. I had started the heist Matt Kent story arc that he did for Dark Horse before they lost the license.
Okay.
And I had already read number 1 and 2, and I saw 3 and 4 there, and I read them, and they were fucking awesome. Like, those were 5 out of 5. But you know how I love Matt Kent.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, there was a Chewie issue, you know, with Chewbacca. Oh, fuck, I love that. The thing I love about Matt Kent is they had this – the first issue was like Han Solo. The second issue focused on Princess Leia. But there was like an underground theme that led all the story arcs together. Do you know what I mean? The third was Chewbacca, and the fourth was Luke. And, like, issue 3 and 4 were told through the eyes of other characters. The third one was told through a clone stormtrooper that was modified, and Chewie had to get him for his DNA so they could uncover some codes. And what the code ended up being, like what they ended up having to get, was the code for the newly built Star Destroyer. Not the Star Destroyer, the Death Star. That they were building over Endor. So this one took place somewhere between Empire Strikes Back, but not like when Han was frozen, but like after they had left Hoth.
Yeah, I don't know if I got the first one of this.
But it was cool because they had Matt. It didn't have Matt Kent art, but they had Matt Kent covers. It was called Rebel Heist.
Let me do a quick search here. My file cabinet. Heist.
And you're actually going to your file cabinet and opening the drawer.
Yeah, I can do that.
And you're going through some folders. Yeah, see, I knew it.
Here we go. Survey says... Oh, unknown.
You didn't order it.
I might have ordered it.
You might have ordered it but never read it? Is that what that means?
Why wouldn't I have read it? Son of a bitch.
Was only four issues, like I said. Yeah. And then the fourth issue was awesome because it was a guy, it was a bounty hunter that was hired to follow Luke Skywalker, and he was badass. Like, this guy was, Darth Vader had personally said, I need you to follow this Luke character and find, don't take him down. Only unless it's an emergency, but find out what's going on because I need to know where the other rebels are. And he ended up becoming so compassionate with the rebels that he actually joined the rebellion. It was so cool. I loved it, man. Rebel Heist was great.
Yeah, I have to track that one down. That'd be worth getting, I think.
The way he wrote Chewie, you saw Chewie through a stormtrooper's eyes. It was fucking amazing and emotional. Like he was saying that Chewie's not led by the rebellion, he's led by his friends. And he said anybody that's a friend of Chewie is like so fucking lucky, because he's almost like that loyal dog that will never let you down, you know? Like a pet that will never ever turn on you, and that has unconditional love for you. And he said he kicked ass. He fucking ripped the arm off a Rancor. You know how big the Rancor monster was when he got dropped in the pit? When Luke got dropped in by Jabba? He fucking took one of the Rancor's arms and ripped it off. This guy was saying this Wookiee is like so badass. He would always say that he stinks really bad, too. He was like, man, he smells so bad.
Yeah, something you never think about, huh?
Yeah. That's funny that I had to ask Matt Kent about that, because I wonder if he has a thing. When he wrote Chewbacca, he had so many lines in there that there was like three times in the whole story where the stormtrooper said, man, he smells so bad. And then he does the same thing in Unity with Eternal Warrior, where they're like, this motherfucker has no hygiene.
So I think really it's a personal thing with Matt Kent. Doesn't like smelly people.
Yeah, just like Quentin Tarantino loves feet.
It's this thing. Cool. Let's see, what else do I have? Well, I got a few things. What do we talk about?
You said you had the lizard book.
I have The Pitiful Human Lizard from Chapter House Comics, number one, by Jason Liu.
You know, that book is hot, too.
Is it?
Yeah. But I think I can't remember if there is a Fiona cover for that, or if that's Captain Canuck.
I don't think there's a Fiona cover for this.
The Pitiful what?
Pitiful Human Lizard.
I don't think I would like this one. What is
It
this
was
about?
quite enjoyable.
No, but for me, do you think I would enjoy it?
I don't know. I think, let's see, would you? I don't know. Yeah, you might. It's about this superhero, quote unquote superhero, called the Pitiful Human Lizard, who is the son of the original human lizard, which was the original human lizard is his father. And his father, I think he might have been a scientist or something, but he came up with this glue substance that he could put on his hands and feet and climb walls. So he became this superhero. So he's kind of following in his father's footsteps. But he's not very good at it. He's taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu lessons, but he's not very good at it. And he is broke and doesn't have any money. He has a job that he hates. So he decides to submit himself to this scientific study of this pill that's supposed to help you heal better. And he takes it, and it ends up giving him like super healing abilities. So now he gets into these fights, and he gets beat up, but he's able to recover from them. So, and in this town, there's also some other superheroes who are like real superheroes, and he's trying to kind of join their ranks. So, like I said, this is drawn and written by Jason Liu. It was really well done. It was funny. It was kind of like a heavy on the comedy side, so a lot of it was pretty funny. So it's kind of like a comedy super human type thing. This issue was really thick. I don't even know how many pages it is, but it may be like 40 pages for this first issue. But yeah, art and story were both good, so I quite enjoyed it. It was a good story, and he did a good job of kind of following this kid and what he's like and where he's coming from and how these new powers affect him. So we'll see where it goes in the future issues.
It's like $10 on eBay right now. What is the
Dang.
price on the cover?
Yeah, $3.99.
Fuck.
I should sell it. But that means I was going to try and get number two, but I don't know if that's come. Hopefully, it hasn't come out yet.
I don't think it has.
Yes. I might get this one in single issues just 'cause to support the dude who's doing it.
You might be too late, though.
I know, man. He doesn't need my support, apparently.
Well, I mean, you could probably need to see if it was in the last two or three issues of previews and send them an email.
You pop on it. I know the fourth issue is solicited this month.
Oh, so you missed two and three.
It was two and three. But if it hasn't come out yet, there's a chance I could get it. Usually, if it hasn't come out yet, there's a chance.
Pretty high. It's over $10 everywhere you go. There's nothing less.
I also read Public Relations from Devil's Due slash First Comics. Number one, $3.99. This was a little bit thicker issue.
Isn't
This
this
is
another comedy book?
it is by Matthew Sturgis and Dave Justice, and David Hahn did the artwork. And David Hahn's done some stuff, some indie stuff. So this is, I mean, it's Matthew Sturgis, so if you like Matthew Sturgis's art or writing, you probably like this. Yeah, it's on the comedy side, and it is really funny. There's a lot of really funny lines in it. So this is about a kid who is the he doesn't know who his father is because his mother got knocked up. All he knows is he's like the CEO of some company and lives in a foreign country. I can't remember what the country was. It's not a real country, but like Sardona or something like that. So he gets a. It, the book actually starts out where they're on a plane going to this country to visit the father. It's him, a girl he invited, his brother and his brother's girlfriend, and then they find out that the pilot is unconscious, and they start freaking out. It's like a private jet type thing, and then you find out that the plane isn't really a plane; it's actually a dragon, because apparently at this point in the world, people were using dragons for transportation. So then it jumps back into the past where he's at work, and the girl who he was on the plane with is actually an intern at the company he's working for. And then they get to this country, which let me look and see what it is. Yeah, Sardonia. They get to Sardonia, and he finds out that his father has a position of power in this country, and there's a kind of like a civil war going on. So he gets involved in that. It was really good. It was really funny, really well written, quite enjoyable, and the art was awesome. The David Hunt art was really good too. So I recommend this. So this is kind of, let's see. It takes place in the modern world, but it also, like this country they go to, and with the dragons and stuff, there's part fantasy in it as well, as you know, you kind of would expect with a Matthew Sturges book. But it was really well done, and it was funny.
I have it. I even have number two. I just haven't read it.
Two came out already? That's quick.
Yes. Two's out already. But I bet you didn't order it.
I didn't order it. Wait, maybe I did. Let me think. Chances are I did not order it. No, I wouldn't have ordered it. You kidding me?
Well, the other one that I finally finished is Jonah Hex, All Star Western.
Okay.
The last issue had Darwin Cook, and the one before that, I can't remember who the artist was. But man, it was such a good wrap up by Palmiotti and Gray again. Like to me, they are the masters of Jonah Hex. They had the one long run.
For sure.
Single stories in there, and then All Star Western came out, and they had ran 24 issues or something like that. So it had a pretty decent run, but actually 30, it went to 34 issues because I read 33 and 34,
I didn't know
and
it went that long.
it was so good because it had I love what's her name? Tallulah Black. God, I love that character. She's the one with scars all over her face. And it's kind of like Hex on and off lover. And she's almost like a female Hex. Like, she's pretty brutal. And they had to bring in some guy, and they got up in this heist, and they almost died. Like,
Was that
if
Megan
you.
Fox in the movie?
Yeah. But it
hit
wasn't anything like that.
Hideous.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that movie. I need to watch that.
Well, Tallulah Black, the way they draw her, like there's a lot of people that have drawn her because she's been around for a while. She's not hideous. She's hideous because of the people that marked her up. Like, she's got a hot body and stuff. You know what I mean? She's just scarred all over her back, and her face is all marked up, and she has a patch on her eye, and it's weird because. When Jonah Hex went through that time stream, like he was in Gotham there for a while and met up with Superman and all that, he had that plastic surgeon fix his face. So right now he's got that beautiful face. Like,
How does he?
he's got that Clint Eastwood face. He doesn't have a scar. But it really wrapped up, like, had a really good wrap up, and then it really dug into their relationship, and they kind of like ended up on the seas, like going on a boat, him and Tallulah. It's kind of how they just ride off into the sunset. But instead of riding off into the sunset, they're taking a boat. But I really liked it. And it had Darwin Cook art on the finale.
That's nice. Is Jonah Hex around in the New 52?
This is New 52, All-Star Western.
Oh, yeah, it was New 52.
Yeah.
Is he around in the
series that ran a while.
I guess, is he around today?
Well, not since this...
Not since that ended.
This issue, yeah.
You wonder the last issue.
The new 52, they focused a lot about like the old West and Gotham, which was interesting.
Right, I remember that.
And then he even went to the future, which was very interesting. And then he came back into the past. And when he came back into the past, he had that plastic surgery done, so he was kind of healed. But he's such a badass gunfighter, him and Tallulah. Like, they almost got killed. Like, this gangs that were hunting this mercenary, they had like shot their horses. So the horses fucking landed on Tallulah and Jonah Hex. And then they had their guns right at them. They could have killed them right there. But Tallulah starts opening up her mouth, you know, and talking shit to this guy. And she convinces him to lift him up off the horse so that he could hit her, you know. And she just shoots him dead. And she's like, you know what? If this guy was smart, he says, I can't believe how many stupid people there are in the world. If this guy was smart, he would have just put a bullet in our heads right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was good stuff. And Starve, I read Starve number 5. It's going on hiatus until February.
Oh, is it?
So the trade is, I think it's coming out like next week or the week after. But it's going to cover issues 1 through 5. It had a really good, I think it was a good break, you know, like good breaking point. But there's still a lot of shit going on. Like, they're still in the Starve competition.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. I'm glad the trade's come out soon.
I'm so upset, though, that it's not selling well. Like, it's like selling 7,000 copies or something like that. I don't get it. Like, it's such a brilliant book.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's just where we're at now. 7,000. Is it Vertigo?
Image.
Oh, it's Image. Okay. I couldn't remember. Could have been either. It would work well as a Vertigo book, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know with sales, I guess. Yeah,
Brian Wood usually finishes stuff, so I'm not worried. It's a bummer that it sells so low. Wish it was
doing better. Maybe the trade will do good. Maybe I'll get some sales from word of mouth on the trade.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's Image, the first trade will probably be cheap, so.
Sometimes it's $9.99, depending on who the creator is.
A lot of them, they've been doing that.
Sometimes it's $14.99.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. I think for the more ongoing ones, they do it the cheaper. A lot of times they do the cheaper first trade just to try and get you on board. Well, I think this one was cheaper, if I remember correctly. But I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, that's one in retrospect, I probably should have jumped on the issues, but oh well.
I agree. You failed the city.
I did. I got a couple other number ones that I'd forgotten I had read, but I found them here. I don't know if you got these. Did you get 7% from Red 5 Comics?
I have number 2 and number 3 and number 4, but I don't have number 1. So I think I thought I ordered it and I didn't.
It's up to number four already? When did this come out?
Maybe it's up to three.
This one's September. It can't be up to number four. Where's my previews?
It's up to number three, I guarantee it.
I'm gonna look in previews.
You don't
red
me, motherfucker.
Red 5, let's see.
It's not red 5. What the fuck are you talking about?
Red 5. 7%. Are you thinking of a different percent?
No, the 7% is the Sherlock Holmes book.
No, different 7%. Just 7%. Not Sherlock Holmes. What are you talking about? Dynamite?
IDW.
Let me look that up. IDW. Oh, they're like in the front somewhere. No, I'm talking about the 7% from Red 5 comics.
Well, I'm talking about 7% solution.
Oh, 7% solution. No, that's different. That's totally different.
No, I didn't order 7%.
This one is Red 5.
Red 5.
And number 4 is solicited this month. So the first two are probably up now.
So I was even right there. Regardless.
You didn't order number 1.
No, I didn't order any of them.
Any of the 7%. Then I'll talk about it. So it takes place in the year 3499. Well, here, I'll tell you the creators, who you won't know any of them.
Luke Keith and Gerardo Wilberby.
Yes.
Wilberly.
Jeremy Feist and Luke Keith are the writers. And I know we know a Luke and a Keith, several Keiths, but this is just Luke Keith. And Gerard Wimberly. Nice art, painted art. So this is it takes place in the future, so the year 3499, and the human race is run by, it's called the Union. They're like the government that's running everything, and they're pretty shitty government where they're kind of dictatorship over all the people, and they exploit the planet. They exploit different planets for natural resources, and they're using people basically. And there's some groups, some splinter groups, who are trying to break free of the Union, who don't want it to be under Union rule. The main crux of the story with the 7% is there's this machine that they found that was created in the past. Like, they were doing some archaeological dig, and they found this machine called the Scion machine, and they don't know what the machine does right now, so they're kind of trying to study it to figure out what it does. Then, so they have the scientists who are working on trying to figure out what this machine does and what it can do. Now, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I read it a while ago, so I don't remember the tie between the 7% and the Scion. If it's the Scion that's doing the 7%, I think it is. Let's see. They found out that the machine does something where it can make people use basically all of their brain. So the myth that we don't use all of our brain. Back to that again. So it's like the movie Lucy, and there people have volunteered to try and use this machine to use up all their brain power, the 100% of their brain power, and they've all kind of gone crazy. So they're working on trying to figure that out. Meanwhile, I think this is taking place in the hidden city that's trying to break free of the Union. Yeah, the separatist city of Subterra. The government, the Union, sends soldiers in to infiltrate this city because they want to, like, take it over. And they send one guy in who's kind of has a bunch of mech built into his suit for fighting. And he ends up coming in and seeing the Scion, And the Scion kind of acts really weird when he's around. It's almost like the Scion's like an alien life force or something. And it goes crazy when he's around. So obviously he's going to play a bigger part in the ongoing series. But it was really good. I liked it. It was quite enjoyable. From Red 5 Comics.
That's weird. That's weird that there's two series that are kind of titled very similar coming
Yeah,
out at the
two
same
seven
time.
percent. Yeah. And I was very excited at the end of this book. There is a ad for Haunted, the Other Side, coming soon from Red 5 Comics. And I love the first Haunted series, so I'm very excited for the new Haunted series.
Think I read that. I think I bought the trade.
Did you? Yeah, I love that one. The spirits and stuff.
That the kids in that haunted house or no?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of something different.
There must be another Haunted book. Now, the Haunted was the one where I can try and remember. It starts out with this girl, and like at nighttime, they have to run inside because there's these weird spirits that come out at night. And like, it's post-apocalyptic. And humans, there aren't many humans left because of all these monsters that come out at night. And I also read Bloodthirsty number one. Did you get that? You probably got that.
I did, but I didn't read it.
From Titan Comics. By Mark Landry and Ashley Witter.
And what was
Awesome
your.
art by Ashley Witter.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It's about the flood in New Orleans in 2005. It takes place in the modern day, but the setup is that something happened back in, like, the flood was not an accident, but it was intentional because they were trying to cover something up that was happening back then. So it follows this one cop who, I don't know if he's a cop, maybe he's a medical guy, I don't remember his exact, or maybe he's a military. He may be like a military. I'm screaming in the background. He might have been a military medic type guy, but anyway, he was working on rescuing people back in 2005, and now he's kind of brought. Then they jump to the future where he's kind of discovering a mystery, like the mystery behind what happened back then. So it was good. I liked it. Enjoyable, great art too, by Ashley Witter.
Well, I read something from Titan Comics that I didn't like.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I love everything. But this is it's by two writers that I really, I mean, a writer and artist I really like too. It's Chuck Dixon and Larry Stroman.
You must be talking about, what's it called? Alien
Alien Legion,
Legion?
Uncivil War.
The original team, right? Original creators.
Worst comic I've read in a long time, but I never read Alien Legion before. This is almost like if you've read Alien Legion, that this might have been like a continuation. But it didn't introduce any of the characters other than through like who's who pages, never in the comic itself. So they all felt like I don't give a shit about any of the characters. And then the plot was just a big space battle between two people, between the Alien Legion and this other alien armada. And it never even explained why they were fighting. It was just a fighting from beginning to end. It's horrible.
So they didn't give you enough background.
It didn't give you a good plot to latch onto, and then it didn't give you any characters to latch onto.
Did Titan reprint the original
The art was pretty nice, Larry
comics as
Stroman.
well?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
But I didn't read those. I just read the new one that came out. I thought I could jump on. I thought it
You
would.
should be able to.
Wish you would have bought it to see how you thought.
Yeah, I
I
don't think
thought it
about
was.
that. I have some of the old Alien Legion trades. I mean, I did read it back in the 80s or 90s, I don't remember, for a little
Did you
while.
like it?
Back then, yeah, I did. I like Larry Stroman a lot, so.
Well, I like his art. His art was good. It's the only thing that made me through. Like, I finished it. I read all four issues, but it was rough. Like, I almost thought, like, after I got through two, I was like, should I even read the other two? Should I waste my time? And I figured the art was good enough, and I like the covers a lot, so I was like, I'll fight through it.
So what did you read? How many issues?
Four.
You read all four of them?
Yeah.
And it didn't, like, clarify it at any point?
No.
Dang.
And all the aliens talking, like, there's a couple of the Alien Legion that talk in, like, weird speak. Like, it's very bizarre. And you don't even know why they're quarreling, like, why one doesn't like the other, or... All it says in, like, the Who's Who page is, like, oh, this one's the hothead, or this is the logical scientist one. But you don't get to see any of that. You know what I mean? You just see it happen on screen.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. But I wonder, yeah, but it would be interesting to see what someone who read the original ones
saw. Well, somebody on Twitter, Joe Crawford, no, was it Joe Crawford? It was either him or, man, I don't have, I'm not in front of the computer right now. It was one of them that they had tweeted back to me that they liked it, but they said they had read every Alien Legion, you know?
Right.
But even then, it's like, you have to have a fucking good memory, you know? Oh, yeah, shit, that's ago. Awesome. The Colts just intercepted. Fucking, I hate the Patriots. It's a soccer game.
The New I was going to say, Patriots is that the National yeah, Foosball Championships?
The Foosball Championships.
I heard about those.
You play foosball?
No. I have played before.
No, but are you any good?
I've only played a few times.
Do you spin?
So no. Do I spin?
Do you spin?
Depends what the rules are.
You're not supposed
to. The table.
The rules are never spinning. What do you mean the rules of the table? Nobody says.
Then I spin. Well, if no one's looking, I'll spin.
But that doesn't count then. You have to. You don't get a point if you spin. It can only go 360. It can't go 361.
I usually do like through about 365.
You can't do that. I would call your point back.
Pull out your protractor.
Yeah. Do you play air hockey?
Occasionally.
Are you any good?
No, not really.
Are you any good at anything?
Sport wise?
Pool?
These are I'm okay at pool. I'm okay at pool. I'm decent at darts too.
Okay.
And so in college, we played pool and darts more than
foosball
and air hockey. A lot of darts. It's because all the bars had darts.
You were always drinking. Just like you drink at night. That's why you're just drunk now.
Just like right now.
Yeah. It's like Keith Knutson.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I've only had one six-pack so far.
That's not bad. Do you have to work tomorrow?
What? I gotta work tomorrow.
Yeah?
I gotta work tomorrow. Man, those guys.
You're gonna have a hangover.
I would. If I was drinking, I would have a hangover.
Yeah. So, any other comics?
I think that's the major comics that I read.
All right, so we're on to TV and movies.
TV and movies.
I actually have two movies.
I watched one of those movies.
Do you know what I watched?
I saw that you posted those two movies, and one of them I was like, I started to watch that movie, but I never finished it. And I said, why didn't I finish it? And I said, I think I didn't like it. I think I just like quit on it. So I went to Netflix and did a resume movie, and I was 3 minutes into the movie when I quit.
Damn.
So I said, apparently it wasn't because I was bored of the movie. I think I was just really tired. So I stopped watching it and
Let
just
me
never went
guess
back
which
to
one
it.
it is. Is it the Wormwood one?
It is the Wormwood one. So I said, oh, I better watch the rest of it. So I watched Wormwood as well.
What was it called? Wormwood Road of the Dead.
Something like that. Wormwood. Y-R-M. Wood. And it's
It's an Australian
Australian.
film. Yeah. What I was told when I saw this at Target actually, and it looked interesting to me because I saw the little blurb that said Road Warrior and Walking Dead or something like that. And I was like, I liked both of those properties, so it should be pretty good. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't a big budget film or anything, but I thought it was pretty decent.
Yeah, I think they definitely did a good job for the money spent. I mean, you could tell in some places like the CG blood and stuff, but yeah, it looked good. And I liked so the premise of the movie is it's a zombie infested world and there's not very many people left, and it's this group of guys who are, well, the one story is the group of guys who are driving cross country. Are they trying to get they're trying to get to the girl, right? The one guy's sister.
No, they are later on, but you kind of skip the outbreak. So like at the beginning of the
Oh, at the
film,
beginning again.
there's the Aussie guy. Like he's like what was that tribe called in Australia? It was in Gods Must Be Crazy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember that tribe. I think he was part of those guys. And he was hunting with his brothers and shit, and they turned. They were like looking at the stars one day, and all of a sudden they got impacted, and they were blood hungry and going after him. And then the scene cuts to this guy because they're kind of talking to each other. It starts with a flash forward and then a flashback.
Yeah, I was gonna say, 'cause at the beginning it's the four guys, and then they do flashbacks
Of their like
of their
how they got
histories.
there, yeah.
Yeah.
And the second guy was pretty interesting because he was just in a like a loving family and stuff, and he gets a call from his sister who's trapped by zombies in like a barn. They're actually filming like a horror movie, so it's kind of funny because when you're in a situation like that, you know, it's like is this person acting just really well, or you know, like what the fuck is going on? Like she had the makeup and everything, and she really turned into a zombie and went after everybody. And the sister actually calls the brother and says, "You know, get out of the house. You know,
Yeah, run.
take your daughter and your wife and get out. Everything's going apeshit." And then a military organization kind of rescues her, but they like tie her up and they pretty much experiment on her the whole time. And that scientist is fucking weird, man.
Yeah, they throw. Yeah, she gets taken to this. Well, it's a scientist in this lab, but the lab looks like it was in like a, I don't know
Oh, it was
what
in the
kind
back
of.
of the truck, I think.
Oh yeah, that's right. You didn't find that
But
out
there were always, yeah, we didn't know that
till
at the
later.
time. I thought it
Yeah.
was like some kind of like building tent or something.
Yeah, it was like real small.
But there was like it had like computers and stuff like on the walls and stuff, and they're always covered in
Covered in
blood.
blood.
And then this one doctor always comes in. They had like zombies like tied to the walls, and then they had the girl, the main female character, the sister, and she was tied, but she wasn't tur she didn't turn. She didn't turn to a zombie. And he kept on like injecting shit into her. Like he would take stuff from the zombies and inject stuff into her.
Yeah, I wasn't sure
And
what they were trying
you
to
don't
do to
you
her.
and the thing we never learned, like even when the brother gets out and he's taking his family away, they're all normal. And then the little girl just changes in the car. So this thing is like fucking airborne. And she took off her mask and got infected, and the wife took off her mask and she got infected. But then the husband took off his mask and he doesn't get infected. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, why is he not infected? And everybody else seems to be turning to zombies. And then he meets this other guy. This other guy comes with a gun and a big old truck. And he's like, hey, man. He like, the father wants to kill himself because he just lost his wife and daughter. And he's like, I can't take it. I want to steal this gun and I want to blow my brains out. And this guy like won't let him kill himself. And they actually get in the truck, and it looks like they're going to be the best of buddies. And then that Aussie guy from that tribe or whatever, he fucking like kills him. Like he thinks he's a zombie, and he kills that guy. It's kind of comical. He just blows him away.
Yeah,
that wasn't a zombie. And he says, no,
it was like his name, like Benny or something like that.
Yeah, Benny.
Yeah, he was funny.
He was like the comedic relief kind of thing. And then they end up in this other barn where there's zombies everywhere, and they're trapped in the barn, and there's like three drinking buddies in there. One of them's like a doctor and such, and they're inventing stuff and doing stuff in the barn, and they eventually break out with them, and they eventually learn that gasoline stops working, but zombie breath like will work only during the day. It's weird. And at night the zombie gas doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, and it's the gas, because all the zombies are like, when they breathe, like this smoke comes out of their green smoke comes out of their mouth.
And you do learn the cause of why some of these people don't turn. It's it's essentially because they have type A blood. Is that type A blood, I think?
Yeah, I think it was A negative or something like
A negative. Every other blood type will turn with just being out in the open. So that some of the military guys have to wear suits all the time. That's probably why the sister didn't get infected. She had A negative, but she was the doctor kept on injecting shit into her. And he injected so much shit into her, she eventually developed the ability to somewhat control zombies. You know, like she could like tap into their brains and have them do stuff for her. And that's kind of like the twist, is she eventually breaks out, kills the doctor, and then the brother and the sister meet up. Everybody died though, didn't they?
No.
Who lived? The brother and sister lived.
Yeah, because at the very end they...
She got fucked up, though. It almost looked like she was going to kill herself. Like, before they ran into those...
Yeah, at one point you thought she was dead.
Well, she was gonna have her brother kill her, right? She almost looked like she was going to die.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how it went down. But the last... So, like, I thought the first act of the movie was a little slow. Not really slow, but... It took them a while to like get into like what the movie was really about, but then like the last like half hour was awesome.
Yeah, but he didn't listen to his sister either. Didn't they go to bed and he got that phone call? He's like, get out of the house, and then he's gonna go back to bed. And
yeah, he went back to bed.
And then the daughter comes and says, "There's some dude in the kitchen." And then he gets like power tools, and it's a zombie like eating raw meat from the kitchen. That was weird.
Yeah, I liked it though. It was enjoyable, especially the last act.
Yeah,
a lot of action. And that's where you really find out.
The actress that was in it favored it. She was pretty hot. The actress, yeah. It's like, oh, there's the actress. She favored my tweet.
Funny. Yeah, she was awesome.
I thought she was the best part of the movie was the brother and the sister.
Yeah, they were the main.
And then the other guy, Benny, was interesting just to add some kind of like lightheartedness.
He was a badass too.
Yeah, he was. He used a boomerang and everything.
So that's recommended. What was the other one you watched?
And that was that was on Netflix. And then the other one that was on Netflix, I was home on Monday. Was I home on Monday? I'm losing track of what week we are in. Oh, we went to Estes Park to go see the Stanley Hotel. where
oh, that's right. Where, I totally forgot. I knew you did something.
Yeah, where and I took Monday off. That's what happened. And so while I was off on Monday, I still wasn't feeling good. So I was like, I'm just going to – instead of reading comic, I was not feeling like reading comics because, you know, my nose and my I just couldn't concentrate. But I said, I could watch these cheesy movies, you know, these horror movies.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
And it'll just take my mind – try to take my mind off of being sick. And it did good. It took my mind off of being sick. The other movie I just chose randomly and – there was no rhyme or reason for it, was Devil's Pass. And it says loosely based on a true story. It is so loosely based.
Very loosely
it's
based.
It's ridiculously loosely based. There was an event in Russia. The part that's true is there was a hiking expedition, I think in the 40s or the 20s or whatever. And they went to this mountain pass in Russia. And this expedition, these six Russian hikers mysteriously froze to death and died. And a lot of them had markings on them. And they didn't know. That was the part that was true. Okay. Now they take – okay, now there's an American – they're in the Oregon State, I believe. It's Oregon State University. They're the Ducks, right? The Oregon Ducks. There's a couple of students. There's a film student. There's a history student. There's a hiking guy that's like a master hiker and a couple other people. And this girl convinces them to go to this because she's really into history and she knows about the history of this event. She says, let's go study this event and let's go hike this mountain. We'll catalog everything. We'll film it all and make a documentary. So the whole thing is about let's make this documentary. So they get there and – there's some weird shit going on where the doc, you know, like Russians are saying, go away, don't go here or whatever. And they actually go to the pass and they start hiking and they start seeing weird shit like during the day. They see these, they'll like go to bed at night, in the morning they'll see like these huge footprints on the ground. They're like, and they think they're Yetis or something because they don't look, they're not the size of a human foot. It looks like a barefoot and it's like a Bigfoot, you know, like, you know, a Bigfoot or a Yeti or something. And then they even see like this one area where there's this box, you know, hanging from, it's like an antenna kind of thing. And they open it up and there's a fucking tongue in there. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And a lot of the guys that are in it, there's two girls and there's four guys. They're kind of reasonable. They're like, let's just leave. You know, this is weird. But the girl that's making the documentary keeps them there pretty much. So let's just stay one more night. They actually get to the pass. Let's stay one more night. And her and one guy, they find this fucking like door in the middle of nowhere. There's a door, and it locks from the outside, and they can't get it open. But she's like, "Don't tell anybody else about this door. You know, it shouldn't be here because they're testing for radiation too. Like, is there radiation in this area?" And the Geiger counter's going off, and they go back and sleep the night, and then like an avalanche or something, like, starts knocking their tents over and they were fucking and stuff, and it kills one of the girls, and it was a disaster of a night because they had this avalanche and one guy's leg is like so fucked up that they have to kind of leave him. And all of a sudden there's these two guys and they're like waving at him and they're like, hey, come over here, you know. And they're like, oh, help has arrived. And they're saying, this is weird, you know, they shouldn't know where we are, and they're acting like they caught us, you know. They're very suspicious, and sure enough, they pull out their guns, and they shoot the guy that was hurt already, and the three people, one guy gets shot in the shoulder, and then they enter that door, and then they lock him into that door. And it's so fucking weird after that, because there's like a, it's like a portal that you can travel in time to, and it has to do with like nuclear bombs and all this weird shit, and it's like an alien technology that lets them jump and
jump through.
They actually time. Yeah, and they actually run into these monsters. It turns out these Russians were doing experiments on injecting like alien DNA into the humans, and they would turn into these weird creatures, man. That's actually what got me to watch the movie, is there was two naked there was two naked women creatures that looked pretty hot, and I was like, "Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what the naked creatures are about. I think I'll watch this movie."
What's this?
So yeah, it's bizarre. And the woman is stupid as shit, the one that's making the documentary, because she's like, well, what if we go through this portal? Because they're trapped, but they either go out and fight the monsters, which they would die, because the monsters could like move like really fast, like incredibly fast. Like you can't outrun them. And it's like they're almost like night crawlers, you know, like the X-Men. They can like time jump real short distances. They're so fast. They have these big feet, and they're like crawling on the ground and shit. And she says, well, we don't know what this time warp cave is going to take us to, and they don't have any light or anything. But maybe if we imagine where we were last, so we'll imagine we're right outside the fucking, you know, cave. So that was like not a good place. They should have said they were back at the bar, at their car or something like that, you know. But it was an interesting film. I would recommend it based on – it's just interesting to see for free. It's one of those movies that's just bizarre. And it's not bad. Like, it's not cheesy film. It's not film yeah. cheesy. It's kind of like film like a Blair Witch type documentary, but – a little the camera doesn't jump as much because they're like interviewing people and they're trying to make this documentary as it goes along. Good stuff.
Yeah, I've not seen that one. Check it out.
What else have you watched?
What have I watched? I know TV wise, wait, hang on. Let me pull up my record for movies. Where's my record? My system is, oh, here we go. What did I watch? Oh, but
are you okay?
hang on. I got to go to my Excel file. See what movies I watched. Not really. We TV wise, my wife and I have been watching Wayward Pines, which was on over the summer. Which is a
we recorded that. We just never watched it.
Yeah, that's what we had it on, sitting there on TiVo. So we decided to start watching it.
Is Matt Dillon in that or?
Yeah, Matt Dillon is the main character in it. And that's one where, so he gets into a car, he's a FBI agent, and two other FBI agents have gone missing, and he's going to find them. And he gets into a car accident and then wakes up in this strange little town called Wayward Pines. And everyone there acts weird and can't talk about the past. And he gets a house there and he's trying to investigate the missing agents. And he finds one of them and she acts like she doesn't know him. Like she won't acknowledge him. And he finds out that he can't leave this town. And he tries to call his agency and can't get hold of anyone.
It's like Groundhog Day.
So not Groundhog Day. It's kind of like, it's almost like Lost. So he's trapped in this. He's basically trapped in his town and doesn't know anything. But the cool thing about this series, unlike Lost, is that about halfway through, they reveal enough information along the way, and then about three quarters of the way through, they tell you everything. So you don't have to wait like forever to find out what's actually happening.
Is it still going on, or was it just a mini series?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Did it finish? Did it conclude?
I don't know. We haven't finished watching it yet.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I could see it going either way. So I know it's based on a book series. So I don't know how much they managed to put in the first season, or if they're going to continue it. It's good though. It's pretty interesting, and I like that. I like that they didn't take forever to reveal the truth about what was going on.
Yeah.
Because once they reveal the truth, then that changes kind of the whole direction of the show. Mm-hmm. It actually got more interesting once they revealed it.
Yeah, because it went from weird to at least understand some of this shit.
Yeah, now I know what's going on and why everyone's acting the way they are. And the bigger story is actually, I think, more interesting than the smaller one, so...
Do you remember the movie that you watched?
I'm looking. Hang on. Here we go.
I'm caught up on Gotham. That's my favorite show. Like, if I had to pick one show that I could watch, if I could only watch one show, that would be it. And that's over Daredevil, and that's over everything else. I just love Gotham. So damn good.
I'm still finished watching the last season, so I haven't got to the new stuff yet. What the hell did I watch?
Caught up on the Muppets. I'm enjoying that. People shit on it, but I think it's funny as hell.
I still haven't watched that. I need to. I don't know why I haven't watched that yet. I need to get on that.
I don't know why you haven't finished watching Gotham.
I only have a couple episodes left. I'm not that far behind. Just a season.
Well, you're already 3 episodes behind on the new season. So you don't have your, you can't log into your library and see what you...
That's what I'm doing now. What is... I don't even...
Library is down for maintenance.
Library is closed today.
Put in comic books and Mylar.
I haven't gone to Mylar yet. I know you're very disappointed in me.
I don't even think you go to bags.
I do use bags.
You don't use boards.
I don't use boards. I use bags, but I just use like grocery store bags that I'm not using anymore. Let's put them all in there. Tie it up. Done.
You're not serious, are you?
No. Nope, I use regular old propylene or whatever the hell they are.
Polypropylene.
Polypropylene. Delicious polypropylene.
Yellow.
Yep, to yellow all my comics. Killing my comics slowly.
All your number ones.
My yellow number ones.
If I were you and I had your mentality, which is trying books and then getting a trade, I would sell your number ones because those are the ones that go up in value. Get 10 bucks for your Pitiful Lizard right now, and you got 30% off ordering it through DCBS or 35% off. Mm-hmm. So you would make your money back.
Tripling my money.
Yeah. But
I found what I watched. I watched Boulevard.
Boulevard,
which was Robin Williams' final movie.
Yeah,
and it was good. It's very kind of sad. It's about a guy who he's a bank employee, been married for whatever 40 years or whatever. And he isn't happy with his marriage, or he's happy, but he's not really happy. You know what I mean? Like, he's satisfied with his life and his job and everything, but he's not really happy. Like, he's never,
depressed.
Yeah, he's never made much of his life, but he has a job that he doesn't
tired
hate.
Of the monotony.
not necessarily. Like, he's okay with his job, but he isn't necessarily like crazy about it. He likes it. He loves his wife, but he's not really like crazy about her. And then he's driving along, and I can't remember, something happened, and he was kind of, I don't remember what it was that set it up, but something happened, and he was driving down the street, and he wasn't really paying attention, and he almost hit this teenage kid, this boy, who, and that, so he pulls over, and he like talks to the kid, and it turns out the kid's a prostitute, he's a hustler. That was called The Hustler. I'm not really up on the male prostitute lingo.
Gigolo? Gigolo?
No, he's not a gigolo. He's just a male prostitute.
What's a gigolo? You get paid to have sex with women, right?
But he doesn't have sex with women, though.
Men?
Yeah, he gets paid to have sex with men. So Robin Williams says he wants to... He feels bad and he wants to, like, take him to dinner or whatever, or, you know, give him food, buy him a meal or whatever. And the guy says, you know, I'm working, you know. And he says, well, I'll pay you. So he ends up paying the kid and he takes him out to eat. And he kind of gets to know him. And then he goes back, like, the next night. So the next day he's, like, thinking about this kid. And the kid's probably, I don't know, maybe, like, 20 or something. And so he goes back like the next night or a couple of nights later and does it again. And then he gets a hotel room and
so
he goes
getting
with the kid to the hotel
to him,
room.
Or what?
Yeah. So, well, it's hard to tell at first. Like, you don't know what's really going on. And the kid wants to, like, says, you know, we can do more if you want. And he's like, no, I don't want to do more. I think at one point, one of the sessions, he has him like take his shirt off and just sit there. But eventually it comes out that, you know, there's latent homosexual feelings that he has that he never kind of admitted to himself. But it's really good, and Robin Williams is really good in it too. I mean, it's sad with what happened to him, you know, watching it, but it was a really good performance, and it's a really interesting story. So I liked it. Keith would probably like it. It's the human condition.
Sounds too depressing for me. Is that it?
I think so. I don't know if I have any other TV. What do you have TV besides Gotham?
Muppets. I'm caught up on Muppets. Caught up on The Flash.
I'm not caught up on The Flash, but I'm almost caught up on The Flash. I think I'm only one behind.
You see The Flash of Two Worlds?
I have not seen that yet. Still need to watch that one. And then, I don't know, new shows, if there's any other new shows I've watched. I watched a couple that were stupid, so I deleted them.
Yeah, that's it. It's time to go to bed.
Bedtime.
You can reach Bill at bill@comicbooknoise.com. He loves to take emails. He likes male prostitutes. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And, Twitters is @DBM00, @MikeMyersBrunch, and we are GeekBrunchPodcast.com. And Facebook is GeekBrunchPodcast. The spaces in between, you click the like button, you can follow all the episode threads, leave comments there, and leave an iTunes review. We need some more.
Yes, go to iTunes.com.
Demands it. Or else he's going to write in the script that you're going to get silent episode. It's like a silent comic, but you get a silent episode.
Totally silent.
Trying to enter this Marvel code into the Redeem thing, and I can't fucking read it, man. I'm getting too old. Looks like I peeled something off. Can't make it out.
Wait, what did you say? What are you peeling off?
You know how your digital redemption codes for the Marvel comics?
Yeah.
I peeled the sticker off. Can't figure out what the code is.
So do you do all those codes, or are you giving the code away?
I sometimes give them away, and if I want to read it again, I just keep it.
So it's easy to find?
Yeah. Like I was doing Iron Man number one, the new one with Brian Michael Bendis. It was pretty good.
I have not read that. I don't even know if I ordered that. I'm not the biggest Bendis fan, but sometimes I like his stuff. He's hit and miss with me.
So that's it. Any food did you eat? Did you eat anything interesting?
Probably.
You just don't remember. You eat the same shit all the time. You're like a bird that eats the same bird food every day.
I don't eat the same stuff every day. I ate some black beans yesterday.
Did it make you like poop purple like the Whopper, the new Halloween Whopper?
Not that I know. Not that I could tell. I poop in the dark, so.
You poop in the dark.
I don't. Who wants to see poop?
I at least turn the light on. How do you like wipe your ass and know you're clean?
But by feel.
You feel. Damn.
You can tell.
So you just like get your hand all in there, like it's all in there. You don't give a shit about the toilet paper.
Well, you wipe it. No, by smell. You put you it wipe it the toilet paper.
Yeah. The key is not to get it too close to your nose, right? So you don't smell like ass.
Man, I smell like ass all day today.
Dang.
Yeah, once you get a clean sniff, then you're done. Well, how do you do it?
I don't poop in the dark. I poop with the light on. And then
that's disgusting.
I check the toilet paper after every wipe to see if it's clean.
Look how much poop's on there? That's disgusting. I don't want to see that.
You don't want to smell it. Just smell it?
Nah, just smell it.
So you're like the daredevil of pooping.
I poop like a blind person. how else do blind people poop?
I'm gonna call this Pooping in the Dark. That's the episode title.
How does Daredevil poop?
In the dark?
Does he use his radar?
I think he could use his radar, but it's in the dark. He only sees like images. I don't think he could tell the color of caca. Like, how does he know he's clean? I guess if you're right, you have to do the way you said. You have to, like, well, you get the toilet paper and you clean as best you can, right?
Yeah.
Then you just shove your finger up there and,
and smell it.
Did I get it all? And if you didn't get it all, put another toilet paper in there, right?
I guess. That's how I do it.
Your coworker's probably like, right, like, you know, Bill's a cool dude and all, but his nose smells like shit. Smells like ass all the time near his cube.
His cube smells like ass.
God forbid you stick your finger in your asshole and then decide you have a booger and have to pick your nose. That booger is like stopping me from breathing and you shove it in there. Well, I better go before I start.
That's a shame. All right, get better.
I will. Shake I gotta this. Fight this shit.
Shake it.
Fuck the pain away. Fuck pain away.
All right.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Yeah.